Warning, the following podcast contains coarse language and spoilers for the film in the title of the podcast.
Now playing movie reviews in 20 Qs.
Hello, good people, and welcome to the podcast Movie Reviews in 20 Qs, the show where we review a movie by asking 20 weird and wonderful questions about it. I am your host, Sam, and I am joined this week by some first-timers. And before we get into that, this is, as you guys can see by the name of the podcast, this is Eternals. You guys know me and love me for being, you guys know me for being a massive Marvel nerd. And so usually these Marvel films are the ones where I go full nerd. And usually it's like, it's the close inner circle, but not this time. This almost feels like random strangers coming to my birthday party were being the only two random strangers that are invited to my birthday party. Because they are, they're random. And they reached out.
Yes.
How are you guys going? Waffles and Murray, how are you guys doing?
We're good.
Yeah, hello. Hi. Welcome to Waffles and Murray Talk About Things.
This is where we are reviewing a movie. Now, from what we've gauged from the premise, Sam is going to ask us 20 questions about this. And by the end of this review, we will have to guess what movie Sam wants us to review. And so, let's get on to this. I'm Waffles.
And I'm Sam. I'm Mario, and Sam emailed us a few years ago, and he was like, I really want to feature on Waffles and Mario, talk about 20 questions with movies. So it's great to finally have you on the show.
Oh man, I've been dreaming about this since I was a little boy. This is like, you know, my dream come true. I can't wait.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Pleasure to have you.
I've got to say, Waffles, way to come up with a way better show than what we're doing. That's... Cheers, man.
Power of improv.
Nah, it's great to be here. Thank you.
So you said this was a Marvel film? Never heard of, is that some sort of independent film company?
It is. It's an offshoot of another one, Disney. It's like a small...
Oh, French. I love French films.
Yeah,
French,
it is. Cinema. Yeah, small little French. Yeah. That sort of French wave, you know, 1960s style film. So, yep.
Anywho, ask us a question.
Yeah, oh, we'll get into that. Before we do, we'll do our usual spiel. Oh, yes. The plot of the film, I mean, like, spoiler alert at the start of this film, obviously you've probably gone and seen it. If you're not going and seeing it, yep, it's the latest Marvel film. General plot is that the Eternals are a race of immortal beings with superhuman powers who have secretly lived on Earth for thousands of years, and they reunite to battle the evil Deviants again, and they've sort of been influencing history throughout that time. On to the standard reviews for this. 6.8 out of 10 on IMDb, 49% on Rotten Tomatoes. It is the first non-fresh Marvel film there is. And that blew me away because 4-2 is probably the worst Marvel film of them all. And I was convinced that was going to be low. But 49% on Rotten Tomatoes, surprising. But if you want to know what we think about it, we're going to get into it very soon. So usual spiel for this podcast, if you've never heard us before, welcome. What we do is we review a movie by asking 20 questions about it. We start with 10 that can be applied to any film. We then move through three personal questions before finishing on either a listener question or a Patreon question. And this week it's the Patreon question. The one we always start with is the compliment sandwich, which is if we liked this film, if we're going to give this a score of over 5,000 out of 10,000, then we give it one thing good, one thing bad, and one thing good. If we don't like it, we give it one thing bad, one thing good, and one thing bad. But Mario, why don't you lead us off? We'll go alphabetical order.
Thank you. What was the question? Sorry?
Yeah. Cracking. It's a type of quality podcasting. Compliment sandwich. What are you going to give it? Are you going to give a compliment sandwich, shit sandwich?
A sandwich would be great, thanks. I have a compliment sandwich for it. This is probably the most genuine I'll ever be for the entire episode. But I really like the visuals. I like the visuals. I hated the pacing. I love the diversity.
Oh, there we go. There we go. Beautiful. As a score out of 10,000, what are we going to give it? 10,000 flying triangles.
Oh, that's really good. I think I would have to give it, out of 10,000 flying triangles, 2 stars.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
On to you, Waffles.
I stick by my guns.
Good on you, man. Good on you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I agree with my co-host. I think stunningly beautiful film. One of the sort of rare times I almost tempted to turn off the sound and just watch it for the visuals alone. I think special effects department, beautiful job, beautiful vistas. Yeah, just wonderful, trippy space stuff. Beautiful, absolutely gorgeous cinematic experience. Yeah, love the diversity. Love me a good diverse cast. Loved, wasn't just racially diverse. There was, you know, different, you know, sexualities. There was a deaf character, which is great. I love seeing sign language utilized in a film. I'd love sign language to be more co-opted and utilized and just normalized, of just having deaf characters being totally kick-ass and awesome. Absolutely love that. And I think that they wasted the deviants. I think they were interesting, but I just wish that they'd done more and explored more of the deviant side of the story and just really, you know, utilized what they had instead of just killing them off at the end. I think that they could have been a great addition to the cinematic universe, and now they're all dead, which is a bit eh. And out of 10,000 flying triangles, I would give this a good 8,500.
Wow.
Really enjoyed this film.
That's wow. Wild. You know, his favorite film is Knives Out, and he only gave that 2,000 flying triangles.
Yeah.
Wow.
There weren't many flying triangles in Knives Out, which is why the low score in flying triangles wise, but yeah.
But there were a lot of Knives
Out. There were a lot of Knives Out. It was definitely like a 9,000 Knives Out for that film, but this one, for Knives, 2,000 Knives for this one.
Oh, yep. Yeah, that makes sense. Yep. On to me. This one was hard for me because, yes, you guys are right, visually beautiful, to the point that when Chloe Zhao, the director, was showing Kevin Feige some of the dailies, like some of the footage of the movie, he actually said to her, "Is like, wow, the visual effects on this is amazing." And she was like, "No, that's just nature. That's just, you know, nerd boy, if you go outside, there's this thing called nature, and you can actually record that on a camera." So
it's like, how'd you render those water effects?
Exactly. So visually stunning, absolutely visually stunning. The bad thing for me is it feels like too much, but not enough. So it feels like there's too many characters, but not enough time to, like, you know, give them all their dues. And, you know, it's such a long period of time. I've got a little bit more of a discussion on this later. But it just, yeah, it was just missing something. But that being said, a good thing. Yep, the cast, the diversity of the cast, amazing. Like Brian Tyree Henry, Salma Hayek, Angelina Jolie, amazing to see her back in a blockbuster film sort of thing. Don't feel like she had enough to do. Sort of felt like she was a little bit wasted, like all these characters, like Salma Hayek was as well. Still a positive for me, and I was over on the podcast, we watched the thing, shameless plug for those guys, and I toyed between a 5,000 and a 6,000, and I feel like it's a 5,800 out of 10,000. And it's killing me to say this. There's not too many Marvel films that are beneath it. So, yep, still a good time. I'm probably going to go back and rewatch it, and I'll be back here in a week going, "I was wrong! I was fucking wrong! Don't listen to this fucking jackass!" So, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah.
On that casting, on the diversity, I love seeing Kit Harington in the movie. That was such a treat. Like, seeing a multiracial, multi-accessible... multi-sexual cast, and then Kit Harington being there was just absolutely perfect.
Yeah, not to mention Richard Madden, and then like the creme de la creme that is Harry Styles. I mean, you put Harry Styles in a film, I'm immediately going to blow everywhere because I fucking hate that guy. So it's just, yeah. It's...
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, you think
sure.
I mean blow enjoyably? No, I didn't mean blow enjoyably.
Oh, okay, yeah. I mean blown durably for Kit Harington, but I'm not a fan. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Between him and Richard Madden, jeebus. Anywho, let's get on to our other questions that can be applied to any film. Question number two, a little introduction before Mario takes it away. This is a Patreon question. We have some wonderful Patreons that pay us $5 a month, and they get to have their questions in the first 10. The first of which comes from our man, Dave Baker, who also has his own Patreon at patreon.com/yourfavorite. There'll be a link down in the show notes. On it, he posts essays on Medium, YouTube recommendations, a whole bunch of good stuff. So, yeah, go check him out. Anywho, Mario, what's this question?
Yeah, so the question is, what character would have the biggest social media presence and on what platform? And for me, that answer would be Kit Harington, because he was in Game of Thrones. He was also in a blockbuster called Pompeii. He was on Graham Norton's show, so I feel like he's quite a famous guy.
Never heard of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really? He was in The Eternals.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. Yeah. I love how you're saying, like, Kit Harington, not his character, but in some own way, he was Kit Harington in this film. He wasn't really Dane Whitman, his character. It was definitely
Kit Harington. I don't think I ever got a name for him. So the credits said Kit Harington, so I'm assuming Dane Whitman was playing Kit Harington.
Poorly too, yeah, I might add, but yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, we all love Kit Harington here. Mm. I mean, I don't, but yeah.
Absolutely. What about you, Waffles?
I think Arisham the Celestial would be massive on Spacebook.
That's amazing. That's good.
So
that's
my answer. Renamed Metaverse.
Yeah, I mean, I've already professed my love for Angelina Jolie as Fina. And you might be sitting there and going, Sam, she goes and lives out in the outback and doesn't talk to anyone, and she's kind of crazy. Yeah. So I'm going to go with Kingo. That's my answer. I'm going to go with the Bollywood star who is like an arrogant, stuck-up dickhead, but in a good way, in a fun way, in a like, you know, playful sort of way. Going to go with Kingo.
Yeah.
Love me some Kingo. He was awesome. Him and his little assistant. But yeah, just going to go with Kingo.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I imagine we'll come across it at some point, but I genuinely love the valet.
Karum.
Yeah. He wasn't as good as Kit Harington, but like it was pretty good.
Absolutely. The best part about him that I liked is that so many times these non-superpowered, useless as hell, you know, no point being their characters, are still there. But at least in this film, they were like, you should probably go home. He's, I want to come along. I got nothing better to do. They've addressed it. They've actually addressed it. Thank you.
They hung a lantern on it, and we're here for it.
Absolutely. Moves us over to question number 3. What is it there? Waffles.
That is, what character would totally fall for a pyramid scheme? And I would say Icarus. I think he built the pyramids, that some pharaoh talked him into it. Of, you know, first we just lay some bricks in a square and then some more bricks on top. And then, you know, before you know it, the pyramids are built. And so I think Icarus literally fell for the first pyramid scheme to actually build the pyramids in the Valley of the Kings.
Mm.
I went with Selma Hayek's character of Ajak, because I feel like she goes along with the plans, the statistical plans, a little bit too long. And just like every single person that you see on Reddit and other places where they've worked out that they're in a pyramid scheme and they can't believe what they've done, they have the sudden moment of realization of like, oh, fuck, I've kind of blown all my money and I don't actually have anything to show for it. We get that moment. And I was like, Selma Hayek is Ajak, you know, and as well as we do see her in Tenochtitlan, and she is at the top of like an Aztec pyramid, which I was like, yeah, cool, makes sense.
Arguably, towards the end of the film, Icarus flies towards the ship as a trap, and the ship is a triangle, is kind of pyramid-y. So arguably, not only would he fall for a pyramid scheme, he did fall for a pyramid scheme before falling the pyramid with a scheme.
Damn! Pyramidception.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was the whole point of the film.
Yeah.
Well, that's why the movie was called Pyramid Scheme, starring Angelina Jolie and Kit Harington.
And we've got Harry Styles here, girls.
That's right. That one's for the girls at the end. Yeah.
I can't. I'm not going to be able to leave that alone. Fucking
Yeah. No, I'm assuming that BTS is coming into this as well at some point.
They have to.
Yeah.
They absolutely have to.
With Mahershala Ali, he'll be slaying vampires and they'll be in a, you know, Korean nightclub, and BTS will be singing, and then Blade will come and they'll all just bare their fangs, and then Blade will have to kill BTS. And he'll make some pun with like Blade the Slayer or some bullshit. Mark my words, it'll happen.
Currently, right now, my brain is on an endless loop saying, don't laugh because it'll happen. Don't laugh because it'll happen. Don't laugh because it'll happen.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I feel like phase 4 of the Marvel plan is really opening up into the MTV universe, you know? Really bringing in it's really exciting.
Yep.
I wouldn't complain if they make a fully musical version of a Marvel film, just fully. At no point did I stop singing. And no one Thanos is just constantly snapping in time to the music, and the cast is reduces more by half each time he does that, until eventually it's just Thanos by himself.
Or a Wolverine.
Oh, God, yes.
Ching, ching, hey, bub. Ching, ching, hey, bub.
Yeah. Schnicked, just saying, like, schnicked. When you're a shark, you're a shark. But it's like, when you're a mute, you're a mute. You're a mute all the way.
Absolutely. Oh, I would pay a lot of money to both see that and not to see that, actually.
Sounds profitable either way, so.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Feige, hit us up. We got ideas.
Yeah, we do. Exactly.
We do.
Yeah.
And blocked.
Oh yeah, no. So for me, which character would fall for a pyramid scheme? A lot of them are quite technologically illiterate, and so it feels like a lot of them would fall for a pyramid scheme. But ultimately, my answer was that Kit Harington seemed to be a little clueless throughout a lot of the film, and he seemed to not really know what was going on. And I feel like of all the characters, Kit Harington probably would fall for a pyramid scheme.
It's a really good point.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not a fan.
It's probably how he ended up in this film.
Pretty much. I can imagine that. I can imagine like Kevin Feige be like, hey, Kit Harington, guess what? If you sign on to this movie and then get three other actors to sign on to another three movies, you get to make money from them as well.
Kevin, I need it. I've got some Amway bills I need to pay off. This is amazing.
Arbonne just cut me out. I need something.
By the way, Kevin, do you like Isagenics? Would you like to get in on Herbalife?
Yeah. Oh, no, I think just for this one question, I think Kit Harington really would be my answer.
Mm. Moves us over to question number four. I've kind of already blown on what I think was the biggest load of bullshit in this film. Fucking Star Fox. Fucking Harry Styles. But I'm just going to ask, I've got another one. So I'll know from you guys, what do you guys reckon was the biggest load of bullshit that happened in this film?
The biggest load of bullshit, and this is a true story, was that at the halfway through the movie, as I was sitting at Hoyt's, my wallet fell onto the seat next to me. And because there's like a seat like between each person, I reached down to feel my wallet and I felt something big and round. And I thought that was really weird, so I took my wallet back. After the movies, after the credits had rolled, the people next to us had left. And I looked over and there was just a massive bra on the seat next to me.
This is a true story.
With a little bit of padding had fallen out, and that's what I had touched. And touched a couple times throughout the movie to get my wallet back. And I can confirm that before the movie started, there was no bra on that seat. So just at some point during the movie, someone took their bra off. Maybe they got a little bit excited. I'm not sure.
Well, Harry Styles,
maybe seeing
yeah!
Kit Harry-
just thrown yeah, their
Harry Styles. But yeah, no, there was just a big bra next to me.
I think he's just disappointed that was the first bra he's ever touched.
That's true. That's true.
And it was empty.
We'll cover that at a later question.
Absolutely. What about you, Waffles?
In movie, I think it was Cersei not moving in with Dane. Like, clearly there's a relationship. Clearly they're two consenting adults. She never gives a reason. It's just like, I'm not feeling it. And so it's either commit to the relationship and move in together, or you need to have a serious conversation about where this relationship's actually going. I thought it was just a needless romantic subplot that didn't really add anything. And so I thought that was bullshit.
Yep, I agree.
She didn't move in with who?
With Kit Harington.
With Kit Harington. Yeah. That was a lot of bullshit. He deserved better.
He did.
I don't know if he could ever get anything better than Jimmy Chan, but yep, I'll just continue on to my answer. The one for me was like, we get a hint of like, hey, his name's Icarus. Oh, he lost his wings because he flew too close for the sun. I was like, haha, that's kind of cute. And then at the end, where we saw him suicide himself into the sun, I was like,
oh, yes,
no. Don't do this to me, Marvel. Don't do this. I was like, cringe. And I even said to my wife, who, by the way, listeners, if you wanted to know what Stacey gave this film, 2,000 out of 10,000. She did not find many flying triangles to enjoy in this film. She did not have a good time. But I remember looking at her and going, oh my God, babe, this is really cringe. She's like, the whole thing is cringe. And I was like, okay. And then, and then obviously, Star Fox, Harry Styles, come on, man. Don't lead in with Patton Oswalt. I love Patton Oswalt. He's the man coming in as Pip the Troller. Oh my God, this is awesome. We're going to see Adam Warlock, or we're going to see Silver Surfer, or we're going to... Oh, Harry Styles! What the fuck? Disappointing.
That's I didn't even make the connection about the Icarus flying too close to the sun until you pointed it out just now. I'm sitting in the movie watching Icarus fly into the sun and go, huh. Isn't that something?
But like,
isn't that really something?
What goes through your head, you know? Like, yeah, I've made some bad decisions. I should probably go to the pub. Or I could kill myself by flying into the fucking sun.
We've all been there, haven't we? been there.
I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, another film, they're like, oh no, how the bad guy Galactus is going to eat the planet, and then out of the sun flies Icarus being like, I'm back, bitches.
Oh, actually, I've got an alternative theory, because when he has laser vision, he's Homelander. I imagine that would damage your eyes after a while. There's a chance he could have cataracts, and he thought he was flying into open space, or maybe he thought he was just flying back home, and it wasn't until right at the very end, it's like, oh, it's getting a bit toasty. Poof. How different would the movie have ended if he flew into the sun and it went out? And the entire world just freezes over, and it says no one will return in any future Marvel film.
Thanks for the money, nerds. That would have been amazing. Fuck. That would have been amazing. That he's like had this moment of like, oh, I can't believe I was gonna like cause the entire like end of the universe, and then he just goes and does it anyway. That would have been brilliant.
Yeah,
that would have been in line with his character.
Oh yeah.
And I absolutely love the idea of a movie ending with "Thanks for the money, nerds." I think someone has to do that at some point. Make like a really shitty film and just thanks for the money.
They should do that.
Avengers 46, thanks for the money.
Exactly. Yeah, just like piss off all the nerds, like starring a young black girl as Wolverine, you know?
Yes. And the AI recreation of Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah. He's back.
In the metaverse.
He's back. And literally every single line of dialogue that RDJ has is poop, you know? Poop, poopity poop, 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 poop.
And you can bet there will still be some fans be like, you misunderstood that movie.
It was really
you misunderstood.
Deep.
It was so much deeper than you realized.
Stop fucking talking about me, guys.
We got him.
Let's move us over to question number 5. What is it then, Mario?
So what is the biggest dick move in the movie?
I'm glad you continued that question.
Interesting, isn't it?
Harry Styles is a giant dick, so I'd like to...
That's true.
What do you got, Waffle?
And he moved quite a bit as well. So.
He did.
Killing Tiamat. I think it was just the Celestial wanting to be born. He didn't have any problems with anybody. He hadn't done nothing wrong. And they were just like, nah, fuck you. You're dying. There was the plan to put him to sleep. But nah, it's just like, let's turn him into marble. And they created the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Ba-dum-bum. Thank you. He didn't ask for any trouble, and he was just trying to be born.
Well, not even that. Like, you know, we're talking about how brave and out there this movie is. Like, he's been in the gestation period. This movie killed a fucking baby.
Oh, yeah.
This movie murdered a baby.
Yes. Like, congratulations, it's an apocalypse.
See, this is my Marvel nerd coming out. They talked about how there was no way of evacuating the planet. When they know other planets exist, they've had contacts with the Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. There's the wizards who have got teleportation. Mm-hmm. Like, they've got some, like, crazy-ass Wakandan technology. I'm sure that if they'd, like, warned the Earthlings and be like, hey, maybe, like, in a year, 2 years, the planet's going to die, maybe we evacuate everybody, they could have figured that shit out.
Yeah.
Maybe no one else wanted humans?
True.
That's a good point. Fuck those dudes.
It's like, oh no, Earth has humans. It's terminal.
We're building a fence around our dimension.
Thank God there's a Celestial going to kill them in a couple of years.
I'm just imagining Captain Marvel showing up at like the Kree planet or something. He's like, okay, you guys need to save the humans. And then just zooms into the planet. There's me just sitting in my backyard eating KFC and my daughter's like panic pool. And they're like, really?
Them?
Yeah. Just scratching my balls just fucking, you know, and eating a drumstick while my daughter's neglected in a corner. Just, Daddy, can I have a swim? Oh, what? You know how hot it is?
Yeah. Buy your own pool.
Exactly.
Get a job.
What are you, 2? Come on, man. Grow up.
Yeah.
The one for me, the obvious one, I mean, like, Icarus, well, he's too obvious. So, I mean, the next more obvious one is Sprite. Like, I don't get it. Like, Sprite, I know I'm getting in dangerous territory here, but got the body of a 14-year-old girl, sure. But she's been around for 7,000 years. So, like, regardless of what happens to your body, sure, usually you've got the years of maturity that goes along with that. But then the fact that she's like, oh, I'm in love with this guy, so I'm just going to betray all my friends. Ah, fuck him. I know this girl's been taking care of me thus 500 years, but fuck her. It's just like, really?
That's true. Yeah.
But what you don't get is she really liked him.
Oh, no.
She had an emotion.
Yeah.
And so she emoted and therefore character.
That being said, the thing I felt more sorry for her is like, they've clearly come to this planet, and luckily for most of them, they've come to this planet 7,000 years ago with modern haircuts. And they, you know, except for her.
That's true.
She's come to this planet with a haircut of, like, really?
Yeah. I think that's copy and pasted David Bowie.
Yeah, exactly.
Just turn it back a few years.
Absolutely. You think she should have, like, could have illusioned a better haircut. Mm.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think the biggest dick move for me, Kit Harington turned a little bit at one point. You got to see the lower half of his body.
Right.
And, yep. Yeah, I got to see I got to see the biggest dick move.
Brilliant.
I just really like Kit Harington. Yeah, he's just there.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
He did move.
Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't get more screen time. That was kind of rude. I care deeply about him and his character choices and his motivations.
Mm. Hey, speaking of Rich, Richard Madden and Gemma Chan had a sex scene. First time in the Marvel Cinematic Universe we've had a sex scene.
Well, since Iron Man 1.
Oh, yes. Yeah, of course. Yeah. I forgot about the random news report.
So it's the first time in, what, 12, 13 years?
Yeah.
Do you think Marvel or like Disney are, like, trying to age up their the sort of audience demographic a bit, or are they, like...
All the 13-year-olds that went to see Iron Man 1 are now, like, 26. And so they're like, our audience grew up, maybe we should be a bit more adult with them.
Mm. Yeah.
But that being said, like, looking at some reviews online, there are still a lot of man children talking about this film.
God, stop talking about me. Fuck. Jesus Christ. I know you guys think you're being meta, but I'm picking up on it, man. Or subtle.
Fuck, we've got to dial it back, man. He's onto us.
Do you think he can hear us?
Yeah. He's going to give us 3,000 triangles.
Anywho, moves us over to question number 6. This question is also a Patreon question. Comes courtesy of our man Dan Brennick of Netflix and Swill, an awesome Netflix podcast which covers everything Netflix related. I will be on later this year to cover The Witcher, so in about a month, Witcher season 2.
Nice.
As much as I'm a Marvel nerd, I'm also a Witcher nerd. Read all the books.
Quickly, toss coins at him.
Yes, please. Please.
Which is ironic because it's the Patreon, so they're literally throwing money your way.
They are.
That's true. They're really tossing a coin to their pitcher. I was trying to think of a... Yep. Please cut that joke. I can't have that on my CV.
Yeah, fair enough. I was going to say more of a butcher. That's definitely me, but...
Oh, there we go.
Fuck, that works.
Just edit it to make it sound like Mario said.
Yeah. Thank you.
Toss a coin to there. Butcher.
Yeah, there we go.
Anywho, what's this question there, Waffles?
What character was the true MVP? Can't pick a main.
There's quite a few answers to this, obviously, but the one I am going to go with is Faustus's husband or boyfriend or partner that he's raising the child with, because we see him sit down. And he's like, "Nah, look, this is my life. You know, I've got a kid. Oh, this is, you know, this isn't for me. You know, killing deviants." And then his partner rolls in. He's like, "Nah, bro, get out of here, man. You got to go." Yeah. And like, if he hadn't come in so hard and strong, despite knowing nothing about what these people have come and asked him to do, that he doesn't know, he's not there for the conversation, he doesn't know, maybe he knows a little bit about deviants and all that sort of stuff, but he doesn't know, but he's just like, yep, pack it up, go. And as someone who is raising a toddler, to tell your partner to pack it up and go, knowing that you're going to have sole responsibility for raising that kid, man, that is true MVP. That is true MVP. Kids are tough, guys.
If we could all be so lucky.
I really liked at the very start of the film when we see the first early humans, and there's the dad fishing in the sea, and he sees a fin come towards him, and his boy even yells, "Dad!" And then instead of running or moving or doing anything to save himself, he just whispers, "Run." And I just thought that was like a really, just really, really strong moment to just not concern about yourself at all, just purely focused on building up this tense moment. Really just won me over.
That dude was suicidal, eh? He was like...
He had some problems. I think there was some other stuff going on there. Yeah.
He was like, not another fucking fish.
He's had 40 elders out there telling him, "Don't go fish down there, you know, that's I don't give a fuck. I'm done, man."
I'm done. Get me out of here. I saw the flying triangle. I'm out. I'm just... It's getting too weird. Yeah.
I've had a kid. I'm middle-aged.
Yeah.
I haven't gone anywhere. I haven't got anything to look forward to. I'm done. Yeah, I'm going to die from curable diseases in about 2 weeks or so. Mm.
Yeah, that's true.
I got to say, Karun, the camera guy, the valet.
Yeah, the man. The man. Yep.
The man. Like,
the man.
Just always bring another camera. Like, just the dedication to get that shot. Like, as someone who's, like, you know, dabbled in amateur film before, just, you know, dedication to your craft. You know, just even in the face of danger, you know, point and shoot. You know, like that takes a lot of heart. And I think Karun just totally made the film for me.
Like he was going to be my pick, and then I was like, someone's going to take him, so I'll divert. But like he was,
I appreciate your sacrifice.
We bleed for our art, but he was the man. I just loved when he was just like, hey, by the way, we're going to the end of like everything, like the end of the universe civilization. He's just like, yeah, I've had fun. It's been cool, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, if you choose to save us, that's cool. If you don't, eh, whatever.
Opposite of me, I'd be like, what the fuck, motherfucker? Give me the fuck with the fuck.
That's true, yeah. There's so many ways off this planet. I don't understand what the problem is.
Fucking jackass. What's Doctor Strange doing right now? Can one of you guys fucking contact him?
Yes. Actually, that's a good point. What did you, like, I know this isn't a question on the thing. What do you guys think the rest of the superheroes were doing for the entire duration of this movie? Because there were earthquakes, there was a celestial rising up, there's a giant triangle in the air. There's a lot of stuff happening. Do you think they were just busy?
Mario, just their day off? It's funny you bring this up, because the next question is what deep philosophical debate arose in you during this film? And that is literally my answer. It's a weird... Where are all the other superheroes? And this keeps popping up all the time. It's just like, where's Doctor Strange? You know, during any time, where's Doctor Strange? Like, I realize Iron Man's gone. I realize Cap's gone. You know, like, we've still got Doctor Strange. We've still got arguably one of the most powerful, you know, superpowered beings on the planet.
See, but what you don't realize is that it's Rhodey's birthday.
Ah, oh, yes, of course.
And he's got a lot of superhero friends.
Yeah.
And they don't want to disappoint War Machine. And so, you know, they've all got to go and celebrate his birthday.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know.
Yeah. And when they're like, you know, well, there's been earthquakes and stuff, it's like, yeah, well, I saw Hulk going to the toilet, so, you know, it's probably just that.
Either that, or they're just, like, all going through portals, being like, haven't you seen? It's like a giant celestial that's going to kill everyone. Yes. We're out.
We're evacuating the planet. I'm surprised you didn't ask us to do this.
So many other ways off this planet. I'm surprised you guys didn't think
of one.
Hey,
guys, I found a planet that's filled with strippers. What? We're fucking going there, boys. Get us the fuck off this planet.
Who cares about the celestial thing? Exactly. Never liked that planet anyway.
Absolutely.
Like, instead of water, it's beer.
Yeah.
Maybe it says something about everyone else. Maybe everyone else was pro-life and they were just like looking at this, like, oh, I think it makes sense. Like, in all honesty, like, a celestial being born creates more lives. I think we should let it be born.
Yeah, just let it be born.
You know, sacrifice one planet, it generates 1,000 others. Yeah. And the maths works out.
What kind of monster would kill it, I wonder?
So yeah, that was my answer to that question. My other one was, would this film have worked better as a TV series? But I've discussed that on We Watch the Thing. I think it would. I think we've got, this is one of my biggest problems with it, was that they were having conversations and then 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years have passed and then they were continuing those conversations. So it was almost like, hey bro, I don't think we should be doing this anymore. 2,000 years later, yeah, I think you've got a good point there, bro. Let's talk about it some more.
That's true.
Like, when you live forever, you got to savor these moments.
You do.
Yeah.
You do.
It's kind of like the equivalent of like when a character says, I've got a plan, and it cuts to them walking down the street and they just started explaining.
Yeah, they continue the conversation. I love that.
That's like implies that 30 minutes passed, but they're just in silence or they're just talking about the weather. And I finally hit this one spot, like, all right, here we go. Here's the plan.
Now, what about you guys? What's your debate?
I was going to bring up the pro-choice, pro-life kind of argument that it seemed to be raising. I really like that. That was a very mature theme for it. Yep. But there's also the theme of, like, knowing your history or knowing your family, like, you know, where do you belong? Where have you come from? And, like, that was really what Kit Harington went through a lot, you know, as seen at the very end of the film. So I just... That just really resonated with me.
Very, very. It is a thinker. It is a
so
thinker.
So deep.
Absolutely.
Just like Kit Harington.
Yeah, definitely. I was thinking, what lengths are justified to, you know, defend yourself, to defend your life? Like, how far morally, ethically are you allowed to go for your own preservation? Like, is it okay to kill a celestial to keep people alive?
Why'd you point at me when you did that?
You
went
know,
like that.
You know
pointed
what you
at
did.
Me. You said, is it worth killing a celestial?
We're killing a Celemario to save, yeah. Save the planet.
I'm scared for my life.
Like, Like, just hypothetically, if you do, you know, did an improvised comedy podcast and one of the hosts was more popular than the other one, is it justified to kill off the more popular host to raise your own presence? Like, these are deep philosophical debates that this movie brought up in me.
I considered that a lot as well. I have to ask myself that same question every night. You know, as long as you don't act on those thoughts, I think that's really the main thing, despite the fact that you have them, even right now. You could be having them right now, wondering if you want to kill a more popular podcaster. I don't know.
Like, if there were other podcasts that did have more listeners to us and were more internationally loved, like, is it okay to go on their podcast, usurp the podcast, and then just dispose of the hosts and take over the show?
Let's do this. Maybe the only way. Yeah. Yeah, I think maybe if they paid some sort of, like, monetary fee, like, to prevent that, maybe that would. I'm thinking about $20,000 here or something.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be nice.
No, that's a fair point about the philosophy.
Yep.
Philosophy thing
moves me over to question number 8, which is also a Patreon question. Comes courtesy of our man Nick Haskins, who runs Nikolai's Kitchen, a cooking podcast that every week I say Stacey is going to be on soon. She's going to be on there soon. She's ginger. She's going to do a carrot cake. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. I'm making this. I'm slowly ebbing it up to the point that Nick's going to go, fine, fuck. I'm trying to break you, Nick. Anywho, what's this question? What's the question there, Mario?
The question is, what type of meal is this movie?
This movie is definitely a pizza.
Mm-hmm.
I love pizza. Like, pizza is my favorite food. And it's a food that I've had so many times before, and I always keep coming back to it. And just throw any toppings on it. You can dress it up. You can dress it down. It can be fancy. It can be schlubby. Yeah, so I think it was a nice pizza. I love pizza. It's a pizza.
I've gone with something else Italian. I've gone with spaghetti. I'm not the biggest spaghetti fan. It's a little too much. There's usually too much there. Like, no one cooks a right amount of spaghetti. Usually if you go have spaghetti at someone's house, they load you a fucking plate that looks like it's going to destroy every single part of your body, stomach, arteries, everything. And I'm like, okay. And that's what this film seemed like. Like, it was too long, but at the same time, not enough. But yeah, it's spaghetti.
I've never met or heard of anyone who doesn't like spaghetti.
But, like, I've never heard someone go, oh, spaghetti is my favorite food in the world.
That's true. Everyone just kind of has spaghetti.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, no one loves it or hates it. You have spaghetti.
Spaghetti exists and people coexist with spaghetti.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, about the pizza thing. You quite like thin crust pizza, don't you?
I do. I love thin crust.
Like, no base to it. No real, like, depth to it.
No.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. Yeah, interesting.
Curious.
Interesting coincidence. For me, what type of meal is this movie? Much like Kit Harington, it's a snack.
Is it a Kit Kat?
Yeah. Cheeky little Kit Kat. Kit Kat Harington. I feel like that needs to be a thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Should have had a Kit Harington.
Nestle, call us. We've got ideas.
Break off a stick and stick it in your mouth.
Kit Kat knows nothing. Yeah.
Kit Harington, if you're listening to this, sorry. Not sorry.
Harington, if you're listening to this, yeah. Hit me up, man. I think we've got a lot of similar ideas.
Yes,
absolutely. Question number 9, what is it there, waffles?
What character in this film just clearly needed to get laid?
I'm going to go with Gilgamesh. He's been following around Angelina Jolie for millennia. And setting that aside, the fact that he's, you know, she's basically wanted to go live out in the middle of the outback. Like, he's legitimately her friend. Like, he's her mate who looks after her. I don't think there's any sexual attraction or lust there or anything like that. I think he's, like, legitimately just, like, a nice guy. And if my best friend was like, hey, I need to go live out in the outback or I'm going to go crazy and kill people.
That's a good point.
But see, that's the catch-22. Is it, do you go crazy and want to kill people and then you move to the outback, or do you move to the outback and then go crazy and want to kill people?
Definitely the latter. Hello, Australia. Definitely the latter.
That's a good point.
Hello, Australian listeners.
Wasn't Chris Hemsworth from Australia? Interesting.
That dude's killed some people, man. He is fucking destroyed.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. You don't get muscles like that by being nice.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I think the person needs to get laid the most. As I realized watching it, I clearly I've got some issues. Just seeing Kit Harington walk around and just do nothing, yeah, just I don't know, having a bra next to me, yeah, just some stuff happened.
I love how Kit Harington literally has two scenes, but we've talked about him more than Sam Hayek or Richard Madden or Gemma Chan or the actress that plays Sprite. I can't remember her name at the moment. But
before we started recording earlier today, I said to Waffles, I want to try and fit Kit Harington as an answer to everything. I'm not even a big Kit Harington fan. I haven't even watched Game of Thrones. I just think it's so weird. He's such a weird guy to put in a movie. Yes. Kit Harington, the answer to everything.
Sweet. Cool. And that moves us down to a question number 10. This is also a Patreon question. Comes courtesy of our man, Nutrivit. Fuck you, the man, bro. His question is, what part of the film was the best time for a bathroom break?
Well, I remember there was like in the first 15 minutes, Kit Harington was there, and then they said goodbye. And I don't know if you remember, but I just went to the toilet for 2 hours.
You did, yeah.
Yeah. And then I came back just as he like was saying goodbye to her by the bench at the very end.
Right at the end of the film, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I thought, yeah, it was just like a good 2 hour window where you can just go, you won't miss anything important. I came back in time to see a guy fly into the sun. I was like, oh, what's that about? That's weird. Weird thing for him to do.
Fair enough.
What part of this movie best for bath and break? I would take a dump during the exposition dump.
Which one?
Of yeah. Oh, you got plenty of choice. Any of them. There was a lot of exposition being dumped in this film. And the funny thing is most of it was explained later in sort of less than two or three sentences. Mm. And so, yeah, I think any time a character starts monologuing, you could probably go and mono your own log.
I like that.
Oh, no.
I like that.
That's true.
Usually for me, during a Marvel film, I will sit there and boil over like a kettle. If I need to pee, I'll just sit there just fizzing away. But this time I did. After Gilgamesh died, I was like, yeah, who cares?
True. Yeah.
I loved Gilgamesh. I was like, he's legitimately one of these characters I care about. And the, you know, no Salma Hayek now, no Gilgamesh. I'm like, why am I here? You know, like Angelina Jolie's going crazy. And, you know, like poor Brian Tyree Henry Falstaff hasn't even shown up yet. So I'm like, what the fuck is this? So I was like, I'm out. Went to the toilet. Yeah, oh, I don't know if I missed anything. I came back and said to my wife, hey, what did I miss? She's like, I don't fucking care. And I was like, not I don't fucking know, just I don't fucking care.
That's funny. So she did know. She had been paying attention very closely.
She had been paying attention.
But she just couldn't be bothered relating to you about what just happened. At what point did you go to the toilet? Was it like, was he lying there going gray? You're like, whoop. time to go pee.
Oh yeah. No, as soon as he started dying, I was like, oh yeah, shit, yeah, this is when I need to go piss. Oh my god. Like, I'm just going to the toilet, babe.
That's fair. I think that's when the bra appeared next to me as well for some reason.
When some poor dude started getting harpooned through the chest by a whole bunch of tendrils. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yep. It's like, oh yeah, time to get relaxed. You know? Yes. Good time to unwind a little.
Well, this is my film.
Yeah.
Anywho, that moves us over to our personal questions. First up, Mario, what you got there, bro?
So the first question I have is, what other cinematic universe do you think this movie could fit into?
Oh, this movie's straight up anime. Like, Kingo was, like, effectively doing a Kamehameha. And, you know, it's like, Kamehameha. From Dragon Ball Z. Kamehameha. Oh. Oh. So anime is a Japanese art style?
Oh, I'm a zoomer. I don't know this shit. I don't know what's going on.
But no, legit, this film, animate it, give them all big eyes, it's an anime. That's my answer.
It's like just generic anime.
Yeah.
Anime universe.
I mean, all anime is interconnected.
Yeah, fair. I suppose I've got the little girl who's 1,000 years old, but she's trapped in a little girl's body, so that kind of, yeah. Won't go too deep into that.
No, we won't.
And what about you?
Yeah, fair enough. I was thinking Iron Giant, because if memory serves correct, Iron Giant was a film about a bunch of robots being sent around the universe to destroy planets. Like, they're going to wipe out Earth or something like that. Yep. So, you know, similar themes.
And had a Superman homage.
Yeah, exactly.
And it ended with a guy flying into the sun.
Exactly. Exactly. You guys
remember that
movie,
right?
There we go.
I think this film, just remake of Iron Giant, they just took the script, added a few more characters.
Mm.
I think they called it a day.
Kevin Feige is listening to this right now, and he's like, right, pack it up, boys. We're being sued. Let's go.
Yeah. From memory, Iron Giant is talking to Kit Harington because he asked him to move in, and the Iron Giant just can't commit to it, and so he says no.
That also happened.
Yeah.
That also happened.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I love the Iron Giant.
If that was Groot, if that was Groot, because it's fucking Vin Diesel. He voiced both of them. He voiced Iron Giant and Groot.
That's
if that
true.
Was Groot asking Kit Harington, move in with me.
That's true. You're right. There's two movies now where Vin Diesel has voiced a character with three lines or one line. Do you think Vin Diesel is okay? Does someone need to check on him?
Considering they pay him like $10,000 per word, I think that's he's true. Fine.
Yeah, I think he's doing okay.
All right, my next question. At no point in any Marvel film has a character gone to the toilet. Does this confirm that in the Marvel universe, no one has a digestive tract?
Do you want to or should I?
Actually, in Iron Man 2, Iron Man pisses his pants.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
There's, well, there's a scene where he gets asked. Oh, no, he asks himself. He goes, people wonder how I urinate while I'm wearing the suit. Yeah. Like this. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I reckon he's faking.
He improvised that scene.
What, did he?
He needed to go to the bathroom. They wouldn't let him off, so...
So he peed in his suit.
He just pissed in his suit, and they're like, okay.
Some people call it improvisation. Some people call it the camera was rolling, and RGJ didn't realize, and he pissed his pants.
I did. In preparation for this question yesterday, I Googled toilet scenes Marvel Cinematic Universe, and the only thing that came up is an Ant-Man when he's putting on the suit for the first time.
Yes.
And it's in a toilet. Thereby is a toilet scene.
Ah.
I mean, Iron Man would arguably be the only person then who's ever gone to the toilet.
Yep.
So Iron Man doesn't have an iron bladder.
That's good. Like that.
Thank you. If it's not, just cut it again. I can't have this on my resume.
Absolutely.
All right. Final question is, this film featured surprising cameo guests such as Homelander, Magneto, Oliver Twist, and Angelina Jolie. What other characters would you like to see join this franchise going forwards?
I don't think that the Marvel Cinematic Universe has enough wizards, so I would like to see young Gandalf.
Mm.
Yeah, I think young Gandalf would work. I think he could have cast a spell and just reversed everything.
I think also our Christchurch wizard is looking for a new job, so there's...
Yeah, the Wizard of Christchurch. So that's a vacant job opening if anybody wants to apply. But yeah, now that he's retired, I'd like to see him get into an acting career. I think he would be pretty good. Pretty good. Yep.
In terms of other wizards, I'm going to go full Marvel nerd here. We have a scene at the end where Kit Harington is looking at the Ebony Blade. The Ebony Blade being a possession of a distant relative of his, being Sir Parzival from the Arthurian times. The Ebony Blade basically makes the holder of it immortal, and he can, you know, like, get about the converse reaction of that is that he has to continuously take lives. It takes the worst out of you, sort of thrust it into the forefront. So when it was created by Merlin as well back in the Arthurian time, so there's a voice that says, you know, are you sure you're ready? And I'm wondering if that was Merlin. I'm wondering if we are going to get the introduction of Merlin into the cinematic universe. So
that voice has been confirmed as being Mahershala Ali in his first role as Blade.
Motherfuck me. Delete all that. Yeah, I'll segue into my proper answer.
Yeah.
I mean, look, if we're putting Harry Styles on this, like, well, let's chuck in a whole bunch of other random dickheads. So I'm going to go with, let's get a couple more Eternals. So, like, the Vampire Lestat from Interview of the Vampire.
Oh, yes.
Let's get the old guy from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, you know, that you have chosen wisely. You know, let's bring him in. And another famous now Disney creation that's going to live forever, Woody from Toy Story. He's an Eternal.
Yes. I would love to see that. I'd love to see Woody as an Eternal.
You'd love to see Kit Harington with a Woody? Yeah.
You know I would, mate. I'd love to see Kit Harington with a snake in his boot. Yeah, that's true.
Anywho, yeah, that moves me over to me for my three questions. Let's start with something serious. Which of the Eternals do you guys reckon has slept with a human first?
I easily Cersei Lannister. I think Homelander just didn't do it for her. And then she saw Kit Harington in England and just, easily, 100%.
Need to get a bit of Strange, yep.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
I think Cersei, when she's looking at the Earth, she's getting a bit horny. And so the first human she sees as soon as they step off that spaceship, actually, like, killing deviants, like, that'll get your blood pumping.
Yep.
And so I reckon, like, one of those old dudes on the beach, like, you know, smell a fish, whatever, doesn't matter. Like, kill the deviants. She's like, straight, hey, want to go back to my heart? Boom.
Yeah.
I reckon it was that fast.
I reckon, like, when we see the shot of her inside the spaceship and she's looking at Earth and she goes, isn't it beautiful? She's actually got a magnifying glass on some dude just sunbathing naked.
Oh, yeah.
Just dong out on the beach. And she's like, isn't it beautiful? And Richard Mann is like, yes, it is. What the fuck else are you supposed to say to this?
It's like that scene from Megamind where they ask the guys, like, are you seeing anyone? I was like, I've got my eye on someone. And it, like, zooms all the way in.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Biggest dick move.
There we go. Just scanning the horizon for literally the biggest dick. Have they been to close yet? No. Oh, thank God. Force this, fuck off. Don't invent and close for these people, man.
Yeah. Don't eat that apple. We need those. We don't need clothes.
I can turn sand into water, but I can also turn something else into wood.
Oh, there we go.
Absolutely.
It's become quite a raunchy episode.
I know. Literally recorded Wild Things last night, and I was like, nothing's ever going to fucking be as weird as that. But it has.
Thank you.
Well, in all honesty, it was the bra on the seat that sort of really tipped it.
The what?
The bra.
The bra on the seat, yeah. I think that's put me in a mood. I haven't been able to shake since I saw it.
Man, I wish I'd find a bra on the seat. I need that support. Anywho, that moves me over to my next question. As at the end, we saw they all melded, sort of all came together in a brain meld type thing. But not Kingo. Mm. Talking about dick moves, Kingo was like, nah, I'm out of here. Fuck you guys. You guys do whatever the fuck you want. I'm not having a part of this. So I want to know from you guys, what do you guys reckon Kingo was up to, or what do you reckon happened to him when they all melted?
Look, he was probably making sure Kit Harington was okay while Cersei was busy doing other things. Either that, or he's probably like trying to get through an airport or something. And they're like, all right, legs together, arms apart. And then he just rises like 3 feet into the air and this golden shit forms around them. Like, what the fuck? What the fuck is this? Get down, get down.
There is the answer. That's what I want. That, or he's like in a public bathroom and the guy in the store next to him is like,
Yeah. Whoa, what did you have, bro?
Please don't look into my stall. Please don't rise so you're head level with the toilet. I mean, when you're head level with the ceiling, I can see the top of your head, man. This is making me incredibly uncomfortable.
Do you think that would make you pee faster or completely stop?
I think I'd vacate my bowels. I think I'd instantaneously and I'd be able to walk out of there. I'd be like, cheers for that. I'm gone. I'm see
you. Just slowly back into the stall behind you and keep going.
See, I reckon they'd just started filming and that happened. He just rose up into the air, gold everywhere. And then, you know, it was over. And then the camera guy was like, ah, I missed the shot. Can you do that again?
He's just still doing it.
Yeah.
That was the other one I was thinking of. Was like he's on the set of a Bollywood film. And they're like, wow, the special effects on this is fucking amazing. And he's just...
Yeah. I was thinking that, like, the VFX, I was like, fuck, we're out of the job. Actors have finally fucking done it. They don't need us anymore.
Talk about method.
Best orgasm scene ever. Yeah, good answers, guys. On to my final question. If you guys were Faustus and you could create technology, you know, like we see one scene where he's created a steam engine fucking thousands of years before we'd need one. And knew you could live forever. What type of technology or creation, whatever, would you guys bury in the ground in ancient times so you could troll archaeologists in the future? And the reason why I thought this was like, I thought if I invented time travel or had the ability to time travel, I'd go back to cave paintings and I'd just paint dick pics all over the cave paintings. Because, you know, people study this thing of like, look at this profound art. It's like, no, it's not. It's fucking dick pics. You know what I mean?
It's a dick.
Absolutely. I want to know from you guys, like, what technology would you bury in the ground?
That's a really good answer. Silly answer. I would put spoilers for Game of Thrones. I'd just write down a whole list of spoilers for Game of Thrones and bury them. And like in 10,000 years, archaeologists are like, have you seen the new show? I'm only like halfway through season one. What's this? Spoilers, fuck. Yeah. But maybe they'd be grateful seeing how it ended anyway.
Yeah, it'd be amazing. You know how George R. R. Martin won't write the rest of it? Yeah, okay, fuck, here it is.
Yeah. They all fucked. Yeah. The end.
I would build a broken robot. Like, not a robot that was working, then I'd broke it. Like, a robot that no matter what you did to it would never work. And so you'd give them hope that they could try to recreate the technology and just fail every time.
Ooh, I like that.
Like something that looks like a robot, that looks like it should be able to function.
Right.
But no matter what you did to it, it would never be a working robot.
Oh, I see.
And just like fuck them up on the wrong, like, it's like, guys, I think we've, you know, invented AI. And then they like plug it in and it's just like, bleh.
Yeah.
Imagine if you like, if you did that, you build like the useless machine where you like press a little click thing and a long arm comes out and pushes it back in. And just over 10,000 years, we're like, what's this little box for? Every time you press the switch, it just turns it back off.
What's
again.
Its purpose?
What does it do?
What does it do? What does it mean? That's funny.
My only other answer to that was a fleshlight. Like, I'm just imagining a group of archaeologists like digging this up and being like, oh my God, like, look, this ancient technology, you know, knew how to form and mold silicon. And, you know, they've created this like vibrating ability, like almost like a battery power, like, you know, and just one dude sitting in the crowd like, oh my fucking God, are you serious? Oh my fucking God. That's a fucking fleshlight, guys.
Why is it still wet?
There would be one guy being like, yes, ancient technology.
Ancient
right.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to stay late and study this one, I think. It's weird how it takes double A batteries.
I think I found a broken robot I can put it into.
look, you got. I'm just going to stay behind. You guys just go home, man. Just lock the doors. Just fucking leave me, guys. Like, you know, like, I get it, man. This is discovery of the century, but yeah.
I feel like there's like a weird pitch in here for a really horrible Jurassic Park where people are putting fleshlights in amber and it just preserves it for millions of years. And they can use what's inside the fleshlight to clone new versions.
Yeah, oh, God. yeah. Like, yeah. Just Beatty Wong going, okay, we're taking the DNA from this. Really? Yeah. It was not pretty.
Like just a park with cavemen in it, and then they escape and they go hunting people. Like clever girl, and then gets clubbed over the head.
Chris Pratt coming this summer, Neanderthal Park.
Neanderthal Park. I like that.
Oh, lovely.
Driving around a Jeep from like just like a slightly hairy guy with a gun. He's like running after them. Objects and mirror closer than they appear.
Yes. Cool. Anywho, that moves us over to Waffles. What do you got there, bro?
Well, I'm a massive history nerd. And so my first question is, what modern celebrities do you think are secretly Eternals? And who do you think they were throughout history? What historical figures what do you think were?
Yeah, this was very easy for me. There's certainly two celebrities that don't seem to age. One of them is Jennifer Aniston. She seems to be looking better by the decade. So, Aniston, Greek name, Helen of Troy. There we go. The face that launched a thousand ships.
Definitely buy that, yeah.
Definitely buy that.
A very strong face.
Yeah.
Concerned the theme of this, of the how these questions have gone so far and my consistent answer to that, I feel like Angelina Jolie really, really, you know, was quite surprising. She was just playing herself in a film.
Yeah.
As an Eternal. Yeah.
Yep.
I think she's always just been Angelina Jolie.
My other one is somebody that was actually born in the Middle East that everybody loves that doesn't seem to age. Keanu Reeves. If you told me he was Jesus, I would probably agree.
That's true.
I definitely would believe
that's
that.
That's true, yeah.
Keanu is not Hawaiian for Cool Breeze. It's Hawaiian for Jesus.
The truly breathtaking Jesus.
Yes.
Well, I reckon Taika Waititi was the first actor. I reckon he was Thespis. I reckon Taika Waititi invented acting just so he could, like, in the modern age, perfect it.
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
Yeah. It was all with a plan of directing Thor Ragnarok.
Yes. It's what all of history, all of Western history was building towards Ragnarok.
He showed up.
The film, not the event.
Exactly. He showed up, influenced Norse mythology, gave them a whole bunch of stories. Letters, bro.
Yes.
And then knew this is going to pan out in 5,000 years. Fucking nailed it, man.
Yes. Yeah.
You just sow the seeds and wait.
Yeah. I can see that.
So my second question, am I crazy, or is this a film just a giant metaphor for climate change?
I love how I've started writing down an answer, and all I've written is yes. And then I've wrote, so both. Yes, you're crazy. Yes, it's a metaphor for climate change.
Yep.
Yeah, and I've done the same. I said, yes, you are crazy. You are fucked in the head. And I'm genuinely concerned about you. Like, you talk about voices. You talk about how like, your declining mental health has been growing since COVID really came to New Zealand. And no, I thought it was a fan fiction about Kit Harington.
Yep. All I'll say is a bunch of powerful people knew that there was a problem going to happen, didn't do anything about it, talked a lot about it, and, you know, eventually waited for a technological solution to show itself.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm just going to put that out.
Yeah. Had thousands of years, and then a couple of days out, hey, fuck, guys, we should really do something, you know? Like, it's just going fucking sideways quickly here, guys.
Yeah. Just waiting for someone to fly into the sun, and then, and then we're complete.
Look, if you destroy the sun, no more global warming.
It's true. That's a good point.
I feel like some people would have a bone to pick with you.
Yes, but that'd all be frozen, so I'd be fine.
That's true. That's true.
And my third and final question is, if you had superpowers, how would you tell your partner that you had?
Look, I wouldn't tell them. I'd show them. If I can make that sound any creepier, I would.
What are you envisioning here? Are you imagining, like, you know, like 6 feet up in the air kind of stuff? Or like,
hey, do you like the beach? Yeah, the bed's made of sand. Hang on, fuck.
But that's coarse and rough and it gets everywhere.
Exactly. I fucking hate sand. What have I done to myself? Doesn't matter. Now it's a pile of fucking tar. Hang on, fuck. I really need to stop drinking when I'm getting intimate. Yes.
No, I love that.
See, I'd just go on a hugely popular podcast that's discussing superheroes and just be weirdly knowledgeable about how superpowers work. But,
yeah, that's fair.
That'll work. That'll work.
That'll work. Yeah.
And drop your own Marvel knowledge and be suitably impressed by the host. That sounds good. Yeah.
And you did laser vision a bunch of people on the way here too. So that was...
can't everyone, what do you do that?
No, it's only on Wednesdays.
Let's move down to our final question. Also a Patreon question. This question comes courtesy of our man, Chris Enney. Fuck you, the man, Chris. Love your work. Chris wants to know, what song would we insert into this film and where?
I would have done Let the Bodies Hit the Floor when Homelander throws the woman off a cliff. I think that just the timing of Let the Bodies Hit the... And then she gets killed.
Massive dick move. Massive dick move. Dropping Soma Hayek off a cliff. Yeah.
It's kind of surprising she survived that, now that I think about it. It took a bit more.
She did superhero pose, so she did land on the...
Oh, true.
She did, didn't she?
She did, and then used her healing abilities. But yeah, pretty dick move.
Mm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've got two for this one. So at the beginning of the film, when we see ancient Mesopotamia, there's a They Might Be Giants song called We're the Mesopotamians.
Ooh.
And I just would have liked to... It's a great song. Check it out. Would just love to see that playing over ancient Mesopotamia. And then at the end of the film, when Tiamat is trying to be born, I would have gone with R.E.M.'s It's the End of the World as We Know It.
Oh, there we go. There's a song that's been teetering on retirement, and Waffles, you've officially retired it. Well done. That's a great song. I just got to do a special shout out now to Chloe Zhao or whoever put this in there, but somebody put in Pink Floyd's Time, which I thought was quite funny. You've answered a movie reviews and 20Q's question yourselves. That's pretty impressive. Yeah. Thank you. We appreciate it.
We can't use it because the film already did.
Exactly. So the one I'm going to go with is for a character I don't feel like has been talked about nearly enough on this podcast. There is a point in which Cersei is in South America somewhere and she gets a phone call from Kit Harington. So I feel like Kit Harington should have had London Calling by The Clash because he is calling from London. So,
or just a Game of Thrones music.
No, that was for the post-credits scene.
Yeah.
Just he's staring at the sword and they just said dun dun.
Just during the second sex scene, she's like, winter is coming.
Exactly. Oh, that would be brilliant.
I it's not really relevant, but I was wondering whether what's the Shrek song called?
Ah.
somebody once told me.
Yeah. So,
what's it called?
A Smash Mouth.
Smash Mouth. Yeah. When the giant celestial shows up at the very end, just pops into existence, and then somebody once told me the world. And it just is all over the planet. It's just broadcast. No one can escape it. Every time Fast Girl ran, they should have put the Sonic music, like just the really fast this video game. Yeah. And she like sprints around the world and stuff. And it's constantly playing. And when she stops, it immediately stops with her. Like it just only plays while she's sprinting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think that would be it.
Anywho, and yeah, that takes us down to the end. Massive thanks, first of all, to everyone that's listened. Secondly, to our Patreons for providing us with the cash that keeps us going. But more importantly, to these guys, first-time guests, and you guys have crushed it. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, sure.
Thank you so much for having us on. It's been great being on the podcast.
Thank you.
And, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It is amazing. There's like literally 10 New Zealand podcasters out there. So I've slowly whittled my way through most of them. I think there's about 2 left. Yeah. So, you know, like we're getting there. But it's been a fucking blast. Yeah.
That's good. So we don't have to worry about the song. There can only be one playing in the middle of the night. And someone's sprinting towards us from the back of the street.
Oh, I'm coming. I am definitely coming.
Oh, shit. I fucking knew it.
Told you he knew where we lived.
Yeah. Hello, Christchurch. Before we do our usual sign-off, why don't you guys tell us about your show, where we can find you, all that sort of fun stuff.
Well, we're Waffles and Mario Talk About Things. We're an Kiwi improvised comedy podcast. So for about half an hour worth of laughs every week, come check us out. We're Waffles_Mario on Twitter. And that's about the only place you can find us. But apart from that, just look up Whamtat or Waffles and Mario Talk About Things online, and our podcast usually shows up. So check us out if you want some short, funny snippets. But yeah, it's up to you.
Yeah, and I'm Mario.
And he's Mario, yeah.
There we go. Been a blast. So we'll obviously put down some links to your guys' show in the show notes and stuff for people to go check it out. Upcoming episodes after this one, there would be Demolition Man with Emily Higgins from the Tasteless podcast, who absolutely loves Sandra Bullock, loves everything she does. We're getting Muchu on for the episode, who hates Sandra Bullock, hates everything she does. So Muchu's already admitted and said he likes that film, so he's already having a moral quandary. And he would text me at 2 o'clock in the morning and just like, can't we just fucking do like fucking Crash or something, bro? And I'm like, we've agreed. We said we're going to do Demolition Man, so we're locked in. So that'll be next week's episode. After that, we've got a run of films like Dune and Venom 2, and there's a whole bunch of films that New Zealand's finally getting released here. So we're going to cover those all the way up to December, and then we'll do our usual Drunken Christmas special before going on a break for all of January, like we do. Anyway, yeah, that's thanks from me.
Thanks from us.
Yeah, thanks from me. Yeah, bye.
See you.
Sure.